Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 72 of Ninjas and Super Spies. We are on to body cybernetic implants. These are cybernetic implants that are shoved in your guts. Unlike with the jaw implants that we looked at yesterday, this is not a motley assortment of various different gadgets that could all fit where your jaw should go, but instead, they all are based on one key implant, the OBC, the on-body computer. This is going to be our deepest dive into how computers work in Ninjas and Super Spies, and the short description of that function is Disney Channel computer powers. The on-body computer gives you abilities that display the same kind of realism, understanding of computer technology, and design sensibility as one of those Disney Channel movies where there is a boy who is a robot, and so he can do robot things. That would be easily comprehensible to a 12-year-old audience who have heard that computers are awesome to the max, but doesn't really know how they're used. So the first thing you need is the on-body computer. It costs $80,000. You need to have a jawbone microphone speaker so that you can give verbal commands to the computer, sub-vocalized, because of course, as we all know, the fastest and most efficient way to input data into a computer would be to simply tell it what you want it to do. Like, Stack Overflow, you say. Computer, fix Stack Overflow. Yeah. So that's the only input. It's a bit of a narrow channel, but what else do we get with this computer? Well, we get a powerful computer processor, a major memory bank, and a read-write optical disk for long-term storage and software. Those are all very impressive computer words. In a strange bit of cognitive dissonance for this whole idea, the game warns us, note that the specifics of computer size and speed are not mentioned, mainly because these things are updated yearly as computers continue to improve. So it's like, hey guys, computers get obsolete real fast, am I right? It's like as soon as you buy one model, you need the next year's model. So when you run this game, just pick the current, fastest, best computer and seal it permanently in your abdomen. It's just a stunning lack of self-awareness. Like go ahead and implant a computer in your guts, but I'm not going to write down what a computer does on paper. It changes too fast for that. So what we have now is like the bare minimum of what a computer can do. So instead of recounting all the things that this computer doesn't have, like, for example, the ability to interact with physical media, an input device that allows you to do any work worth doing, a display, let's just see what you are offered, like what cool options you can add to this computer, and we'll be able to kind of glean how you're meant to use it. So the first one is a speech synthesizer chip. This allows you to, it allows the computer to talk to you in your head. That's a very, movie or comic booky thing for a computer to do when it's built into your body. Like in the old Deathlok comic, you have those little, green speech bubbles with the computer writing, with the computer who would always argue with Michael. It was a cool comic. I gather that that character has appeared on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a show that I don't watch. Does Deathlok drink Ensure on that show? If not, I have no time for it. In the comic, you could always see him drinking old people's smoothies. It was one of my favorite things. So computer power number one, the computer can talk to you in your head. With appropriate programming, it can also imitate and transmit other voices through other implants. So if you're lucky enough to have a robot mouth, then you can use your computer to imitate people's voices and project them through your robot mouth. There's computer power number two. There's another option you can get, the remote modem OBC option. This allows you to use narrow channel radio to interact with standard telephone lines to access computer networks. We're then informed that characters who take this option have to use the computer network skill to infiltrate secure computer systems. One of the most infuriating things about Palladium RPGs is that the rules are the last place you expect to find them. As vague as they are, I think these are the closest we get to rules for hacking, and they're not in the Hacker Gizmeteer program, they're not under computer networking, they're not under the descriptions of the regular modems that regular people use. They're only here under the description of the remote modem attachment to the cybernetic belly computer. Interestingly, the range of the modem is 12 feet. Now you may ask yourself, what does it mean to have a 12-foot range on a modem? And the answer is Disney Channel computer powers. You don't have this modem so you can Google shit in the middle of a mission, or so that you can sit at home and crack a bank's servers so that you can get confidential information about its clients and figure out what a corporation's up to. No, this modem is so that you can be driving down the street and you hit a red light and then you grab your Bret the Hitman Hart sunglasses and pull them down over your nose and are like, we don't have time for this. We've got cyber business. And you stare at the light and you make it turn green so that you get to cut off the other traffic and, speed on to your destination. It's that kind of hacking. It is definitely like, what is a plausibly hackable thing within 12 feet of me? I will reach out through the phone lines and bend it to my will. Along those lines, there's also a Tempest monitor option that allows you to pick up signals to video screens. This works within 500 feet. It can read, anything displayed on the screen. But importantly, there's as yet no way for the belly computer to convey this information to you, right? Like, you could pick up what's on a view screen, but then how does the computer portray that to you? Because there's no monitor or anything. And so the Tempest monitor has a second, actually much more useful feature. And I quote, any computer monitor, television, or cathode ray tube device within 150 feet can also be used as a display device by the on-body computer. Now, this delights me because I have a very specific nostalgic connection here. Around the same time that I was first playing Ninjas and Super Spies, I also had this little portable black and white TV set meant for camping, although I never would and never will camp. All I did with it was stay up past my bedtime and watch, ironically, In Living Color, which was a TV show I was not allowed to watch. I've often reflected on how quaint a childhood device this is now in a time when, every child has the whole fucking media of the planet available at their fingertips at all time. Like, everyone is carrying this computer screen everywhere. But what you can't do with a smartphone or an iPad is pick up your belly computer's output on a portable CRT television. So I'm ready to play a belly computer super spy who carries around his little black and white camping television so that he can point with one finger at secret bad guys' secret view screens 500 feet away, then point with his other finger at his portable black and white camping television and display what's on that one evil screen onto what's on his good nostalgic TV screen in his passenger seat or whatever while he does the stakeout. That, my friend, is the very meaning of Disney Channel computer powers. There's one more option closer to what you would really use a computer for, the cryptographic decoding processor chip. Unfortunately, the only input this belly computer seems to have is through standard phone lines. So if you have sensitive encoded information, you're unfortunately going to have to fire up the old 56.6K and I guess just send it as an attachment to bellycomputer1 at CIA.gov. Disney Channel computer powers absolutely fit the tone of this game, and I have no problem with their being here. But in addition to the supercomputer powers, there's also this weird, like, retro aspect where you're using dial-up and you wouldn't be able to do a lot of conventional computer stuff because of the lack of inputs or ability to connect to other devices. Nothing better sums up that dichotomy than the ability to project your belly computer's display onto any television within 150 feet of you, but only if it's a CRT. And for that reason, that specific power is the dumbest thing on this page. So that's mostly it for cybernetics. Join me next time for something completely different on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.